Chumash Bamidbar is generally a chumash that doesn't have many mitzvahs in it. It's more of a chumash which talks about the story of the Yidden in the Midbar, in the desert, what they did in the desert, their travails, their tests, the things that went right and the things that went wrong. However, there are some specific mitzvahs found in Sefer Bereishis, and when we find one, we always want to understand its placement. Why is it written here? So, after, in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, we have the story of the Meraglim, of the spies that they went to, when they went to Eretz Yisrael, what they saw and the reaction of the Jews when they came back. And afterwards, there are a few mitzvahs written there, one of which is the mitzvah of challah. It's a very familiar mitzvah to us, and this is the mitzvah that I want to discuss. A big part of the mistake of the Meraglim and the source of the sin of their Avera was their difficulty reconciling the way that they lived in the desert with the new way that they were going to have to live when they went into Eretz Yisrael. The Midbar, the desert, was a totally spiritual existence. They're surrounded by Nisim. They're surrounded by miracles. In the words of the Pasuk, it's said as they were coming, approaching Yam Suf, Hashem yilachem lachem, va'atem tacharishun. Hashem is going to fight for you. You're going to be quiet. Hashem is going to take care of everything for you, your food, your clothing. There's going to be the clouds that act as a movement. Your transportation is taken care of. Your water is taken care of. Your education is taken care of. Everything is taken care of. Now you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and things are going to start to change. Because when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to be much more active. You're going to have to take responsibility, initiative. And the very difficult task of revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the world of nature without the miracle surrounding you. And it is with this in mind that Moshe sends the spies into Eretz Yisrael because he wanted them to start to take some initiative to be partner in this endeavor. However, the Meraglim did not want to take the responsibility. The words that are said are shocking. Nitna Roish v'nashuva Mitzrayma. Let's turn around and go back to Mitzrayim. Incredible. We would rather take on the burden of slavery rather than the burden of responsibility. We don't want to be responsible. We want to be told what to do. And that somebody else should be taking care of us and doing it for us. The Chet HaMeraglim is associated with the Chet of Avodah Zarah, of serving idols, because where this thought process comes from is actually a pagan view, which is that a person believes I can do whatever I want without taking responsibility for my actions, and then I'll go to the gods and I'll give the gods what they want, whatever sacrifices I need to give to the gods, to take care of things and make it work for me. I don't want to have to take responsibility for the things I've done. Let the gods take care of it. And it's not the way we live. We live with a tremendous sense of responsibility. We do have to take responsibility for our actions. When the Jews understand that they made a terrible mistake, they responded, unfortunately, by making another mistake. A group of them called the Ma'apilim said, we will undo what we did wrong. And immediately, we made a mistake by not agreeing to go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's go now. But their mistake was they were already told that you can't go. You've lost the chance. Now for the next 39 years, you're going to have to be in the desert. And they refused to accept that. And they said, independently of God, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. We don't really care whether he lets us go now or not. We're going to go. And this is also a mistake because it's a very fine balance. There's a fine line that we walk on of, yes, taking responsibility, and yes, showing our independence, but never our independence from Hashem. If Hashem says you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, then with what right and by what virtue do you think you can go? And unfortunately, these Ma'apilim died. They were killed as they tried to go into Eretz Yisrael, because of course, we can't do anything if Hashem is saying not to do it. How do we learn to live with this dual responsibility that we have? On one hand, yes, having our taking responsibility and showing our independence, and on the other hand, knowing that we are totally dependent on Hashem, is that we got the conditioning for this, the training for this in the 40 years of the Midbar. For 40 years, we ate the man. We ate food that came from the sky, and we were taught over and over again, bread, prosperity, money, food comes from Hashem. Comes from the sky. We can do nothing to make it more or less. But now we're going into Eretz Yisrael, and at the very end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life in Parshas Ekev, Moshe tells the Yidin, Ki loy al halechem levade yichya ha'adam. Man does not live just by the bread that he produces or creates, but ki al kol moitzi pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. How does man live? Man lives because this is, if Hashem decrees that he lives, he'll stay alive. If Hashem decrees he'll have money, he'll have money. And without that, he's going to have nothing. And then he tells them, he says, soon you're going into a land of chita, sa'era, gefen, te'ena. You're going into a land where there's going to be farming to do, there's going to be reaping to do, there's going to be threshing to do, and you're going to have to do all that. You're going to go into a place where you need to work, and that's why we're given the mitzvah there of benching. Va'achalta v'savata, you'll eat, you'll be satisfied. Uveirachta, don't forget to bench. Don't forget where the food comes from. But he acknowledges that, of course, there is the risk that we're going to forget. Pentechal v'savata, you're going to eat, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to build yourself beautiful homes. V'amarta b'valvecha, you're going to say in your heart terrible words. Koichi v'oitzem yadi asali esachayel hazeh. You know why I'm successful, you know why I have food to eat, you know why I have money, you know why I have the beautiful house I do. It's because of me. It's because of the strength of my hand. That's what created all of this wealth. And at that point, Moshe says to them, remember Hashem, because hu hanoisein l'cha koyach la'aso yischael. It's not koychi v'yotzim yadi. It's not because you did it. It's because Hashem did it for you. And this is the dual reality that we have to play. We have to recognize that we're totally reliant on Hashem, but living in a world where Hashem is carrying us, he's always carrying us, but carrying us obviously in a miraculous way is not the point. The purpose is to be conditioned to recognize forever that Hashem is giving us everything, but then to go into the world of nature to do and to be active and to be creative, and from there to recognize that Hashem is the one giving him koyach to do what he's doing. This is a much harder task, and this is our task. That's why when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they took with them a tzinsenes man, meaning they had to take with them a jar that held a portion of man so that at any time they could remember this reality that Hashem is giving us everything, but he's making us do it in a way that it feels like we're doing it. So let's go back to challah. Challah is the portion that's given to the kohen after we bake the bread. And the question is, we've already given the kohen truma from the grain itself. That means when the farmer is gathering in all of his produce, a certain portion has to be given to the kohen, to the levi, different trumas and maestros that we have to give. So why do we also have to give challah to the kohen if we've already given him from the grain? Why is there a double giving? And the answer is that when a person brings all his grain to his house from his threshing field, right, and he sees what he has as he's coming in from the field, he has to recognize, and this is something that we miss out on being urban livers, but farmers have a much greater sense of recognizing how reliant they are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they know that with the rain falling at just not the right time, the whole yield could be destroyed. Or if the weather is too hot or the weather is too cold or the wheat starts to grow and then there's a frost, and he's recognizing the whole time, this is not for me, it's from Hashem, and I'm acknowledging this, that all this that has grown in the field is from him, and therefore I'm giving a portion of it to the kohen because that's what Hashem told me to do. That's one level. But there's another level, which comes after he has already baked the bread. He's done something with that grain. It had to be, there's so many different steps that have to happen until grain turns into bread. It's not just the food that comes from the ground, which is a little bit more obvious that it comes from Hashem, but the creative work that we do. That's when we have to say, V'zacharta es Hashem elekecha ki hu ha'nesein l'cha koyach la'asa Yisrael. Remember Hashem, because he's the one that's giving you the koyach. La'asa Yisrael, to be creative, to do things. We have to remember that the raw materials are from Hashem, and that's the truma number one, but that the creative spirit and all my accomplishments, that's also from him, and that's the challah. When you see a newborn baby, a couple of hours after birth, it is so clear that this is only comes from Hashem. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do something like this. Only he can make this happen. But we have to remember that too, as the child is growing, not to take credit for raising the child, the good PTAs, the report cards, yes, to take responsibility when things don't go well, because that's also our task and our goal. We have to take responsibility, but we also have to remember that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't do anything. There's nothing we can do. The Chala reminds him of both the Chet HaMeraglim and the Chet of the Ma'apilim. The Meraglim who didn't want to find their independence and creativity and said we'd rather go back to Mitzrayim and be slaves, and the Ma'apilim who wanted to do it all on their own. The Chala rectifies it. We have to create. We have to be creative. We have to use the world of nature. But we always, always have to remember, who does it come from? It all comes from him.